The reading this morning is from Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 17. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbour, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labour, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of their mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. This is the word of the Lord.
Today, we reflect upon the word of God and be reminded of our identity as a new creation in Christ. The Apostle Paul offers profound insights into how we are to live as followers of Jesus, setting ourselves apart from the world and embracing a life of holiness. In this passage, Paul urges believers to put off the old self and put on the new self. People should be able to see a difference between Christians and non-Christians, practically speaking, because of the way the Christians live as the children of God on earth. Paul told the Ephesians to leave behind their previous lives of being enslaved by sin, and to instead focus on their way of life by depending upon God's Spirit to renew them from within. So I titled my sermon as Call to Holiness. And in the first portion of our passage that has just been read to us, verses 17 to 24, there's a contrast between the old and new self. Paul begins by highlighting the stark difference between the old self, characterized by worldly thinking, and new self, shaped by the righteousness and holiness found in Christ. He implores us not to live as Gentiles do, being futile in their thinking and darkened in their understanding. Instead, we are to embrace the truth of the gospel, which calls us to a radical transformation of our hearts and minds. The phrase "living in the futility of their thinking," this refers to natural tendency of human beings to think about their own way away from God. Today, as we know, the whole world operates based upon how I feel. It's not that how I exist as God created as I am, but it is how I feel. So the world should adjust to one's feelings and not the rational and natural principle that are laid in God's creation. There is also intellectual pride. Rationalizations and excuses all keep people away from a deep relationship with God or from searching for Him in the first place. So don't be surprised if people can't grasp the gospel. The gospel will seem foolish to those who harden their hearts and take pride in their own independent feelings and thinking. Not that we should not have independent thinking, but our understanding of God, we as human beings created in His image and acknowledging Him as our Creator and we depend upon Him, is looked down. Christian faith is looked as ancient. It is not relevant. But Christian faith urges everyone to transform in the likeness of God, in the likeness of Jesus. After establishing the doctrinal theology in the first 11 chapters of Romans, Paul begins from chapter 12, the practicality of life. And he begins like this. I'm reading from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, dedicating all of yourselves, set apart as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your rational or logical and intellectual act of worship. Do not be conformed to this world or its superficial values and customs, but be transformed. Interestingly, in Greek, the word transformed is metamorphosis. I probably guess it is a medical term. Am I right? Yes, it is metamorphosis. It actually refers to the process that leads to an outward permanent change. So when the inner being changes, it reflects on outside. And it is progressive. It matures slowly and completely and it transforms. So by the renewing of your mind, maturity will take place so that you may prove for yourself what the will of God is. And that which is good and acceptable and perfect in His plan and purpose for your life. Imagine a butterfly emerging from its cocoon. The caterpillar, once limited in its mobility, now soars freely in the air, adorned with vibrant colors. Similarly, when we embrace the new self in Christ, we are set free from the bondages of sin and experience a glorious transformation. In my own experience, when I had the born-again experience, there is a feeling of change deep within me. I can't explain at that point. But I gradually realized that things that I liked before born-again experience, now I hate them. I don't like them. I started a new life, and slowly the maturity begins. You grow in Christ. The second point I want to emphasize is embracing righteousness and holiness. That's found in verses 25 and 32 in chapter 4. Paul provides practical instructions on how we are to live as a new creation in Christ. We have abandoned our old way of life, the path we once followed before we believed in the redeeming power of Christ, and we have left it behind the depths of the past. Just as we discard worn-out garments, we must cast away the shackles of sin, shame, and regret that once bound us. Now Paul emphasizes the importance of truth, integrity, and genuine love within the body of believers. So let us explore those exhortations more deeply. First of all, he encourages us to speaking the truth in love that we have already seen in the previous sermon. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 25 emphasizes that we must speak truth in love. Paul encourages us to put away falsehood and speak truthfully to one another. Proverbs chapter 12 verses 22 states like this, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight." Lying disrupts unity by creating conflict and destroying the trust between us. It tears down relationships and leads to open warfare within the church. Honesty is not merely an ethical principle, but an expression of our new identity in Christ. Our words should build up and edify others, reflecting the love and grace we have received from God. Imagine a group of friends hiking through treacherous terrain. When one member notices a dangerous path ahead, he warns the others to prevent harm. In the same way, as Christians, we are called to speak the truth, warn others when they are straying from the path of righteousness. Don't be judgmental, we say. That is a license not to speak the truth. We have to speak the truth. It is not judgmental. It is helping others. It hurts sometimes. The second sub-point is controlling anger and extending forgiveness. This is found in Ephesians chapter 4 verses 26 to 27 and verses 31 to 32. The Bible doesn't say we can't feel angry, but it teaches us how to handle our anger properly so it doesn't control us. Anger is an emotion. Sometimes we can't control it. When we express our anger without thinking, it can harm others and damage relationships. If we keep our anger bottled up inside, it can make us bitter and harm us internally. Paul advises us to address our anger right away in a way that builds the relationships instead of tearing them down. If we hold on to our anger, it gives the devil an opportunity to create division among us. Are you currently angry with someone? What steps can you take to resolve your differences? Friends, sometimes forgiveness is very hard. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness is a choice that is between you and God. The other person may still have angry or hurt feelings towards you, but the forgiveness needs to be sorted between yourself and God first. That comes only by the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't let the day end without starting to mend your relationship. Paul acknowledges that anger is a common human emotion, but he warns us against allowing it to lead us into sin. Instead, he instructs us to quickly reconcile our differences, extending forgiveness and grace towards one another, just as Christ forgave us. Consider a potter shaping a piece of clay on the potter's wheel. When a flaw or imperfection arises, the potter patiently reshapes and molds the clay until it becomes a beautiful vessel. Likewise, God's forgiveness molds us into vessels of His grace, transforming our anger into forgiveness and reconciliation. Colossians chapter 3 verse 13 says, "Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any one of you have grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you." My third sub-point, living in love and kindness. Ephesians chapter 4 verses 29-32. The way we live can make the Holy Spirit sad. Paul cautions us against using hurtful words, holding on to bitterness, misusing our anger, fighting, spreading gossip, and having negative attitudes towards others. Instead, we should be forgiving just as God forgave us. Let's seize every opportunity to uplift and encourage others. The Holy Spirit within us is a seal or guarantee that we belong to God. So we cannot grieve the Holy Spirit. The Bible says clearly, do not quench the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 19. Sometimes we say, "You let me down." What does it mean? You quenched my spirit. I am not encouraged. I am disappointed. Paul emphasizes the importance of using our words to build up and encourage one another. Our speech should be filled with grace and seasoned with kindness, avoiding all forms of unwholesome talk. Instead, we are called to show compassion, tender-heartedness, and forgiveness, imitating God's love for us. So the question we need to ask is, how are our attitude and actions causing sadness or bringing joy to God? Picture a garden with blooming flowers. Well, we are in the spring now. We are in summer. Our gardens are very busy, wildly growing. We don't like weeds, but we like flowers. Each flower brings a unique fragrance and beauty, contributing to the overall splendor of the garden. In the same way, when our speech is marked by love and kindness, we create a beautiful environment where others can flourish. Proverbs chapter 15 verse 4 declares, "A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit." Lastly, the last verse, verse 32. "Be kind and helpful to one another, tender-hearted, compassionate, and understanding, forgiving one another readily and freely, just as God in Christ also forgave you." Jesus taught about the importance of forgiveness in the Gospels, Matthew 6, 14-15, 18:35, Mark 11, 25. We can also find it in the Lord's Prayer, where we ask God to forgive our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us, Luke 11, 4. So God's forgiveness towards us is not dependent on our forgiveness of others. It is solely based on His great mercy. However, if we refuse to forgive, we haven't truly become one with Christ, who even forgave those who crucified Him. Once we grasp the depth of His mercy, we will desire to be like Him. Because Jesus forgave us, our attitude of forgiveness towards others should stand out in stark contrast to the unforgiving nature often found in the world. every day or every time we say the Lord's Prayer, don't we understand what the forgiveness is? Indian coastal villages are often vulnerable to cyclones. In a small village lived two neighbors named Anita and Sarah. Sarah had a kind and forgiving heart, always ready to lend a helping hand and offer words of encouragement. Anita, on the other hand, held grudges and rarely showed any mercy or compassion. One day, a terrible cyclone struck the village, causing extensive damage to Sarah and Anita's homes. Sarah's house was in ruins, but she managed to salvage a few belongings. With a smile on her face, she approached Anita, who had lost everything, and offered her a place to stay until she could rebuild. Anita was taken aback by Sarah's kindness. She had always been resentful towards her neighbor for various reasons. However, at that moment, Anita realized the power of forgiveness. Sarah's actions spoke louder than any words, and it touched Anita's heart. As the days turned into weeks, Sarah continued to help Anita rebuild her life. She never held Anita's past grievances against her, but treated her with love and respect. Inspired by Sarah's example, Anita made a decision. She chose to let go of her bitterness and embrace forgiveness. The weight of resentment lifted from her shoulders, and she experienced for the first time a newfound freedom and peace. She realized that Sarah's secret of forgiving spirit stemmed from her faith in Jesus Christ. Anita determined to explore more of Christian faith. The power of forgiveness spread like a ripple, reminding the villagers of Sarah's behavior that brought a profound impact on their relationships and respecting Sarah's Christian faith, though it was a Hindu-dominant village. Friends, as followers of Christ, we are called to live radically different lives, reflecting the transforming power of the gospel. In this passage, Paul challenges us to put off the old self and put on the new self, embracing righteousness and holiness in our thoughts, words, and actions. May we remember that our transformation is not solely of our own benefit, but for the sake of God's kingdom and the witness we bear to the world. Let us continually seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit, empowering us to live in a manner worthy of our Christian calling. Amen.